The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. The Gemara brings in Masecht Yevamos, Daf Samech Beis Amid Beis. Omru, they said, Shnaim Oser Elef Zugim Talmidim, Oyol Rebbe Kiva. It's too loud. It's too loud, there's an echo. Ken Shnaim Oser Elef Zugim Talmidim, Oyol Rebbe Kiva, Megivas Ad Antiperis. Rebbe Kiva had 12,000 pairs of Talmidim. Of disciples, 24,000 disciples, the Kulan Mesu Beperik Echod. They all died during one period of time, because they did not give the proper honor to each other. And the world was desolate from Torah. Until the Rabbi Kiva came to our rabbis in the south, Bishon Olehem, and there he reopened his yeshiva and started to teach to them. Remeya, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yesi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Lezer ben Shamua. There were five of them. Behem heim hamidu Torah ososho. And it was from these five that Torah was returned to Israel. Tana, we learned, Kula Mesu mi Pesach vat Atzeres. They all died during the period of time of Pesach until Atzeres, until Shavuos. We are now between Pesach and Shavuos. We also have a tradition that on Lag BaOmer, the deaths ceased. And being tomorrow evening is Lag BaOmer, so let's speak a little about Rabbi Kiva, his teachings. Incidentally, there are, our Gemara says five. There are Midrashim that mention he might have had seven Talmidim. Our Gemara says they all died during one period of time, from Pesach to Atzeres, Pesach to Shavuos. I saw last year in a Kuntres, it was a publication by a Rav Rothberg, where he brings another medrash that it seems that they did not necessarily die in the same year. They all died from Pesach to Aratzeres, but it could have been stretched over a number of years. Now, we all know who Rabbi Kiva was, where he came from. This, I think everybody's familiar with, and we've spoken about this many times. Very briefly, he came from very small beginnings. His father, Yosef Aviv Ger Tzedekoyo, his father was a righteous convert. That is, I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Gemara brings that he, or the Chazal bring, that he might have come from the Zerah, from the seed of Sisro. He did not have, the Gemara says, chusavos, he did not have the merit of having great righteous fathers. For the first 40 years of his life, he was an amoritz. He was ignorant, totally ignorant in the ways of the Torah. He was a shepherd by Kalbo Savua. Kalbo Savua was one of the wealthiest men in Yerushalayim, just before the Churban Beis Hamikdash, the destruction of the Second Temple. Ultimately, he married Kalbo's daughter, Rochel, his only daughter, and she influenced him to go and study Torah. He grew and grew in Torah until he had brought up 24,000 Talmidim that filled the entire world with his Torah. Mordechai says, Shimchoi Eilech Misefei Lamatzefei. his name spread out from one end of the world to the other. Reb Tarfin is a Mishnah Masecht Edus. Reb Tarfin, who was one of the Gedele Hador, the great leaders of the generation and a colleague of his, said on him, Akiva kol ha-pedush mimeko ke-pedush min achayim. Whoever separates themselves from you is like separating themselves from life. Another Gemara, Masecht Chagigo, Arba Nichnas Lepadus, four tried to study the entire Torah, not only the revealed, but the most secretive parts of the Torah, the Sod. And great tragedies happened to all, with the exception of the Bekiva. That was Nichnas B'Sholem V'Yotzim B'Sholem. He was the only one that came out with a great wealth of Torah. We see also that after this great tragedy happened, he was already an old man, because he was only 40 when he started to learn. He lived till 120. He was already a very old man. And nevertheless, he didn't give up. He went and reopened his yeshiva. We see from here also that numbers don't count. 24,000 were not able to sustain Torah for Israel. Five were. And then, the Gemara tells us, he rose to such heights that no one could compare to his heights. It's actually, we're learning Masechta Baba Basra now. And in the first perek, that it speaks about Achochom and Novi, and there Rabbi Gershom brings, no one could have the mazel, no one could compare to Rabbi Kiva. Mora brings in Masechta Menoches that when Moshe Rabbeinu was given the Torah, so he asked, what were the Kisrei Osius? What were the crowns written on the Sefer, on the letters of the Sefer Torah? Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, that's not for you. That'll be for someone who will be Derish. He will expound the entire Torah. So I'm giving him something more to expound. This briefly was Rabbi Kiva's life. There's many things we can learn from that. First of all, he was the Ben Aliyah. He never stopped growing. Never stopped trying to grow further and further. It was actually his Talmud, Reb Shimon ben Yochai, one of the five, that says, he would say, Re'isi b'nei Aliyah ve'hemu otin. I see those who grow, but they are few and far between. So life was that, a life of growing. And a person has to constantly strive for more and more. The whole Sfiras HaOmer, the time between Pesach and Atzeres, Pesach and Shavuos, was a time of growth, the Chazal tell us. Because Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim, they had gained their first level of freedom. But they were still like a child. And they had to go through 49 levels till the 50th, which is Shavuos, which was Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah, the Shara Hamishim. So the whole Sfiras HaOmer is that one of growth. We see also from him what the sages say, Sheva Yipul Tzadik Vakom. Everyone falls. Tzadik falls as much as anyone else, but the difference is he gets up. He couldn't be stopped. Even in his old age, that his whole life's work was gone, he still got up. And he darshened, and it's brought in this Gemara, on the posuk of Shlema Melech's, King Solomon in Keheles Yud Aleph, Bebeik Ezra'i Ezarecho, Ole'erev Altanach Yotecho, Ki Eincho Yedea Eze Yichshar, Hazeh O Izeh, Ozeh, Vim Shneem Keecho Tovim. In the morning you should plant your seeds, and in the evening you should continue You should not stop. That means in your youth you should plant, and also in your old age you shouldn't retire. This is what Rabbi Akiva darshened, expounded, and he said that if you teach Torah in your youth, you must not stop in your old age. If you bring up Talmidim, disciples in your youth, you must not retire, you must not stop in your old age. And then we see the great labor of Torah. When he started to learn, he was 40 years old, he would sit with children to learn the Aleph Beis. And he would labor and labor until ultimately he went away for 24 years to learn. I mean, today, people go away. if they can't come home every month, or 2 months, or 3 months, right? It's a big deal. He went away for 24 years to study Torah. And that's also in our parsha. Im bechukaisai teilechu states, if you will walk in my statutes, you will have all of the brochas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to give. What does it mean? Im bechukaisai teilechu, you will walk in my statutes. So the sages darshan, to amelim betorah, to labor and labor without stop in Torah. Tomid, without interruption, as much as possible, as much as one can do. So there are many, many great principles that we can learn from Rabbi Akiva's life. This evening, though, I would like to focus more on one of his teachings. And that is, in the beginning of Masecht Ovis, in Masecht Ovis, there are a number of Mishnais that Rabbi Akiva taught. The first one, and this is in Per Gimel, Mishnah, in this text it's Mishnah Yud Gimel. Some of the other texts it might be different. And there, this is the first of his Mishnais, which is brought in Masecht Ovis, and it seems to be lacking direction. Rabbi Akiva Aimer, Rabbi Akiva says, Schok v'kalis reish, Schok v'kalis rosh is empty laughter and lightheadedness, folly. Margilinas odem le'erva, brings a person to promiscuity. Mesores, Sigla Torah. Mesores, we will see in a minute what that means. But Mesoras is the safeguard for Torah. Maisros, the Maaser, that one gives from his grain, that's the 10% that he would give from his grains to the poor or to the Levim. This is a safeguard for one's wealth. Nedorim, vows, are a safeguard for Krishus, safeguard to help a person in his deeds, and Siyog L'Chochma Shtiko, and the safeguard for wisdom is silence. Now what is Rabbi Akiva talking about here? Laughter and lightheadedness brings a person to promiscuity. Mesoras is a safeguard for Torah. The Maisros, safeguard for one's wealth. Vows is a safeguard for one's actions. And Sigla Chochma Shtiko, and a safeguard for one's wisdom, is silence. The Maral explains all of this in his Pirush HaNovis, and we will try to explain some of this evening. Rabbi Akiva makes one statement here and then gives four safeguards. One statement and four safeguards. Now, if Firstly, in regard to the statement he makes, the general direction that a Bekiva is looking at is a person has to be strong. He has to be straight. He has to be sholem. Sholem means a wholesome, a totality. If he's going to get anywhere. And the Rebbe Kiva got quite far. So he's giving man direction on how to be a total person. If someone is a total person, he has his feet on the ground, gives him strength and fortitude to go further in the world. But if he becomes weak, or if he's strong in one area and weak in other areas, there's going to be problems. And he's going to be blown over by many winds, like we see today. And for a person to achieve this, he has to be upright, straight, in the middle. Not to the right, not to the left. Yosher. Now, firstly, he speaks about, he makes a statement, Chof v'kalis reish, margilin es odem le'erva. The Maral says that the Mishnah before, Rabbi Shmuel, ended by saying, we have a makabalis kol odem besimcha. You should receive every person with joy, with great joy. So he was speaking about simcha. It brings it, there's a possibility, there's a question as to the exact text, as to who said the previous Mishnah. He said the previous Mishnah might also be from Rabbi Akiva himself. A person has to have simcha. He has to develop a nature which is happy, which contentment, satisfaction, not complacency, but satisfaction, contentment, joy. If not, he won't get very far, because the Gemara tells us, "Ein ashkin sheira, ela mitek simcha." HaKadosh Baruch Hu only dwells where there's simcha. Ein anavua sheira ba'odim. Prophecy only dwells where there is simcha. Torah, from the 48 attributes that one needs in order to be Kena Torah, he has to have simcha. The fact is, atzfus, people who have a nature to be sad, to be down. Well, everyone has his ups and downs, but they're more down than up. This is considered mechele haguf, or mechele hanefesh. Because I'll tell us this is a sickness. Sometimes it could be a physical sickness. It could be lacking something physically. Sometimes it's a chele hanefesh. It could be an emotional or a spiritual sickness. But the Chazal view this as a sickness. And therefore, if a person has it, he must do what he can to change that. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates only to simcha. And Torah relates to simcha. And therefore, if he's be'atzvus, if a person has a nature where he's always down, he's always moody, depressed, then he's far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, this is in regards to simcha. Now Rabbi Akiva's coming along and saying, but there's also a simcha, which is an extreme. There has to be a simcha in the center. A simcha that's in an extreme, this is what is known as chayk v'kalas reish, empty laughter and lightheadedness, folly. What is the definition of that? The definition of that is a person who is besimcha, where it's something which is not fit to be besimcha over. Or if it's, for example, tragedy takes place, and he's b'simcha. Or if it's at a time when it's not fitting to be b'simcha over. Tisha B'Av, a person is b'simcha. Or at a time when it's forbidden to be b'simcha. For example, a person is not supposed to take joy from another person's misfortune. He sees misfortunes, he takes joy from it. Right? Or rebuke. It states, L'tzon achas decha mea techoches. It's a scoffer. He makes jokes when someone is speaking about a serious matter and is rebuking, or he's speaking about serious things and he's laughing around, he's clowning around. This is what is known as a let. Now, this is what is known as an empty simcha, a simcha rekonius. And this is the simcha of the rekim. There was an expression that's used in the Tanakh, from the anoshim harekim. That means a person, empty people. And these empty people, if you'll notice, for them to become besimcha, they need external stimulations. So they're the ones who go. They'll go to a bar, a pub. They like to drink a lot because that's the only way they can come to simcha. Or they'll go watch amusements, entertainments, comedians, because the simcha is empty, so they need external forces to bring them the simcha. But the true simcha is when there's something in the simcha. It's a celebration in its own right. There's something to celebrate. Or it's the person himself. A Jew always has to be the simcha, except in particular places where perhaps we're not supposed to. But even then we cannot lose our simcha. Why? Because he's a creation from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of him all of the time. The fact is that he's living. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving him life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu feeds him all of the time. This every person, especially a Jew, that we say, Asher Baruch Avonu Mikol Amim, V'Nosa Amnonu Es HaTorah. He blessed us from all of the nations and gave us the Torah. You chose us from all of the nations, and you elevated us from all of the nations. Or like we say constantly, Yetzias Mitzrayim, we were slaves. You freed us. There are a million reasons why any person, but especially a Jew, always has to be besimcha. It says, Kolash Neshama Tehalel Ko. Every soul should praise you. The Gemara Darshan's Neshama Nishimo. Neshama comes from the word breath. We have to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for every breath he gives us, because in every breath there's the greatest gift, the gift of life. That's a simcha, that's a meaningful simcha. That, yes. That one must be. If not, like we mentioned, then he's not close to Hashem. But an empty simcha, that already brings a person far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That brings a person very close to the physical nature of man. And therefore he says, Mevi'a lidei erva, will bring a person to promiscuity. So what he's doing with this statement is lining up this quality that it has to be center, not to the right and not to the left. Now he goes and tells us further. He brings four siyogim, four safeguards. The Baal explains that a person in this world as four kinyonim, four acquisitions. They are kinyonim, acquisitions, because he acquires them along the way. He's not born with them. And what are they? Firstly, the deeds of a person. A person is not born with good deeds. Good deeds do not come naturally. The Torah tells us, Yetzer leva odom ramin urav. The nature of man's heart is evil from his youth. Moradarshan is not from his youth. Mishaninar mi beten imai. From the minute he starts to move out of the womb of his mother. From here the Gemara learns that the Yetzahara goes into the person at birth. That's why he's called Melech Zokein. He's an old king. Because only later does a person develop a Yetzer Tov. Now, when it states Yetzer Leva Odom Ramin Urav, that the nature of man's heart is evil from his birth, there are no exceptions to this. Not on this world. Contrary to Christian thought, unfortunately it seeps into Jewish thought also, there are no saints that are born. No saints. By Christians, they have born saints. We have saints that made themselves into saints. But they were Yetzar Leva Odom Ramin Urav. But they were born with evil. There was once Rabbi Victor Miller once commented, how come you find in the New Testament or in other such writings, I believe it's in the writings also of Islam, I don't know, that there is no criticism against their saints. Heaven forbid, no criticism. Can't criticize the Pope. They're beyond that, they're saints. But yet, by us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu criticized Avraham. He says, you didn't believe what I said. And gave, he says, your children will go into, become slaves for 400 years. By Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu criticized him many times. Yan le'amantim bi, you didn't believe in me. And therefore, you will not go into Eretz Yisrael. By Dovid HaMelech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu criticized him for what he did and punished him. We don't have one saint that didn't do something wrong. He says that's a sign to the falsehood of them and to the truth of Torah. And unfortunately this seeps into Jewish thought also, because we are bombarded with the values and the principles of the world. There are no born saints. If there were, then they're not saints. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses the righteous people who became righteous through Bechira, through their own free will. They won't be through their free will then. And that's why you would not find anyone who's without a Yetzer Hara. Not only that, the Gemara says just the contrary. Gemara says, Kol ha-godl mechavera yetzer godl, imenu. Ubi yese mikulan, ubi tamul chochem yese mikulan. That the saints, our so-called saints, have greater yetzer horas. Therefore, deeds, good deeds, do not come to a person by themselves. These are deeds that he has to work on. Because if he follows his nature that he was born with, he'll be nimshach lera, he will be drawn astray. Therefore, he has to work on everything he does, all of the time, all of his life. And deeds, therefore, are considered a kinyan, an acquisition. another acquisition that a person has is his wisdom. Not born wise. Has to be amassed. It has to be acquired. Another acquisition is wealth. Person has to acquire his wealth, and therefore it's also a kidney. And the fourth is, which is the most difficult of all and the highest of all, is the Torah of a person. These are the four kinyonim. And since they are acquisitions of a person, and the fact that he's not born with them shows that they are not innately part of him. Therefore, just as he can acquire them, he can lose them also. Therefore, he has to be very careful. They need a shmira. He has to hold on to them with great strength. And these are the four safeguards that Rabbi Akiva is teaching us. Now, first he brings Mesora Siyag L'Torah. The safeguard for Torah is Mesoras. Mesoras means, the commentaries say, what we were given Misinai as to how many letters there are in the Sefer Torah, how many sentences are there in the Sefer Torah, where each sentence is to begin, where each sentence is to stop, and therefore we can count them. This is brought in the Gemara in the Dorim. How many places a word is to be written fully, a yeser, and how many places it should be written not fully, a chosar. There are many words in the Sefer Torah that you can pronounce them the same way if they have an extra letter or if they lack a letter. These the Gemara calls Mesoras. They're called Mesoras because this was all handed down to us. But it states that the Sofrim is referring to the Chachomim, they would use these to remember exactly how Torah should be, and nothing should be lost. Because we remember states, they were called Sefrim, they used to count the words and count the letters. If you know how many words there are supposed to be in a certain parsha, a certain chapter, then you can remember, and you can remember and put it back together again where you won't lose it. And the same thing with the sentences, and the same thing how many times there's supposed to be a word that's lacking a letter, or a word that has the letter in this group or in another group. The Gemara brings that it's through this that we are aided, assisted in not forgetting Torah. In Torah Shabbat Pen, the oral law, there they couldn't count anything. There Rashi brings, every once in a while you'll find in the Gemara a few words written which does not seem to have a logical meaning, and we see some type of code. And these were known as simonim, that in order not to forget the debates and the discussions, they used to label each one with a letter. And then they would make a word or a group of words from the letter. And that way, they would remember that phrase. And through this, they would not forget any of the shmuais, any of the discussions. There's a Gemara in Ervin that brings Asu Simonim LeTorah. Make yourself aids in order that you do not forget the Torah. And that's why we have often, the Sfadim have a lot of this. They will tell you many, many ways on how to remember how many ingredients in this halacha or that halacha, where they have formed it into a word or some type of code or message. The bottom line is, though, is that the Chazal are telling us that we must, in order not to forget Torah, we have to make various means of aids and assistance. The Maral brings this does not only refer to quantity, this refers to clarity. That when we study Torah, the purpose of Torah is to understand the Torah. The Torah should be a light, an or, not a cheshach, not darkness, and not confusion. If the Torah confuses us, then we're not on the right trail. We have to toil in Torah to gain a clarity in it. Now, for clarity also, we must do things that will be an aid and assistance to us. Now, why is all of this necessary? Because this is a shmira. When a person has something precious and it can be lost, he guards it carefully, and he has to comes to all kind of different etzos on how to guard it. If it's not precious, he doesn't have to worry about it. If it's not stealable, if it can't break, doesn't have to worry about it. The Gemara says in Chagiga, Tesvov, Remeir and Acher. Acher was Remeir's Rebbe. And he was a Tana, or a Rebbe of the Mishnah. But after many, many years, he went away from Torah. So Remeir told him, it states on Torah, Kosha Likna is Kikesev Zov. It is as difficult to acquire as silver and gold, upos, and precious stones. Neach lishtaber kishkuchis. But it's as easy to break as glass. So therefore it has the value of gold and silver, but it's like glass. Glass you have to be very, very careful with. And that's because Torah is so high beyond us, even though it's a kinyan, we always must be careful not to lose it. That's why one has to always review and review. But this Rabbi Kiva is telling us how to be strong in our Torah. What we learn, we must learn well, and we must safeguard it. And what is the safeguarding of it? The Mesoras. These types of aids. Therefore, the Rishonim bring that anything that a person does that will be a shmira, that will help him guard his Torah, this is the mitzvah. This is the biur in the Torah. It says, "Ushmartem, you shall guard my words." So the Chazal Darshan Zu HaMishnah. This is the Mishnah. The entire Mishnah was a shmira. Because what does the Mishnah do? The Mishnah takes entire discussions and debates and consolidates it and summarizes it into a single statement. The debate and the whole discussion one won't remember. But if it can be summarized into one statement that a person can remember, then once he has that, then he can work through the discussion and the debate. So the Mishnah itself was a shmira, was a guardianship, a safeguard that the Torah shouldn't be lost. And actually, Rabbi Yehuda Nosi, the Mishnah was Torah Shebal Peh, was not written. But Rabbi Yehuda Nosi took the decision, it was a universal decision, historical decision, that even though one was not allowed to write it down, he must write it, because he was safeguarding the Torah. The Torah would have been lost. And therefore it's brought, if a person writes something down, what he is doing, he's safeguarding his Torah, that it shouldn't be lost. This is the mitzvah. In other words, a person shouldn't learn and not take care of it. State someone who learns and doesn't take care of his Torah is like a farmer that seeds and doesn't bother to harvest. or he doesn't bother to take his produce into his barns. There was a Ragachover, I recall, where someone wrote him a shaila, a question, and he answered him. Then this person put out a sefer, wrote a sefer. In the sefer, he rewrote what he asked the Ragachover. The Ragachover was a great gaon in Dvinsk. He rewrote what he asked the Ragachover, and he wrote what the Ragachover answered him on it. Then he decided maybe he shouldn't have published this without permission from the Ragachover. So he wrote a letter to the Ragachover apologizing. The Ragachover wrote him back. He says, "What are you apologizing for?" He said, "You were Mekayim the mitzvah. You let me be Mekayim the mitzvah Ushmartem." In other words, the fact that you recorded it in the Sefer, this is a Shmira. Now this Torah will not be lost. It'll be guarded. I remember once I wrote a question to my Rebbe, and he wrote me back a long letter, a long, involved answer. He wrote, he says, I answered your letter immediately, but I held it back and didn't mail the response. It wasn't urgent. I held it back and didn't mail the response until I had a chance to make a copy for myself. Those days you had to make a copy by hand. Until I made a copy by myself, in order that I should not lose Divrei Torah for myself. See, this was the Shmira. I recall an Orach HaShulchan, an Ovel, someone who sits in Shiva, is not allowed to learn Torah, to discuss and debate Torah, unless it has to do with the Avelus or other such relative topics. The Orach HaShulchan writes, what happens if a Talmud Chacham is sitting Shiva and all of a sudden he thinks of a good answer to a strong kasha on the Gemara that he was learning before he became an Ovel? He says he would think that person is a fool if he doesn't write it down. Aye, but if he writes it down, he's learning Torah that he shouldn't be learning while he's a novel. He says it's a dover or ovud. If you don't write it down, you can forget it. And we see even by Panosa, if a person has a business, and all of a sudden a great loss would come. There's all types of permissions, what he can do while he's in Avelus. So certainly by Torah. If you might lose your Divrei Torah, they're certainly permitted to write it down that you shouldn't lose it. At any rate, this is what he means, Mesorah Siyag LaTorah. He's saying we have to learn Torah, but we have to protect our Torah. The teaching of Torah is protecting the Torah from being lost in the world. Many times if a person thinks of something good in Torah, he should tell it over to his chaver, not only to teach it to him, but the more he tells it over, the more clarity he'll get from it, and the likelihood he'll remember it. So what the Rebbe Akiva is saying, a person should do all kinds of things to safeguard his Torah, that it shouldn't be lost. Otherwise, he's someone that loses it. It's like filling up a bucket of water with a bucket with water that has holes in it. Where is he going to get? The Maral brings that some want to say that siog is meseiras siog laTorah. Mesoras refers to the Kabbalah. The Kabbalah, the meseiras, is what we have from Sinai. Ish mi pi ish, what a person learns from his Rebbe. And that's how it would seem. It's interesting what the Maral writes on this. He says as follows, Ein nira pirish yaklal. He says, I can't agree with this at all. Ki ein ha-Kabbalah siog la-Torah. The Kabbalah, that's what you learn Torah from your Rebbe. He says, that's not a safeguard for the Torah. Ki akabola min harav hu gufa Torah shebal peh. This what you learn Torah from a Rebbe. This is the actual Torah. This is not safeguard of Torah. She ein Torah shebal peh zulas hakabola mipi rav. The entire Torah, the essence of Torah, bal peh, the great Talmud, is what you learn from your Rebbe. He says you can't come to Torah without learning it from a Rebbe. So we cannot say that this is what a Bekiva means. This is the safeguard. That's Torah. He's speaking about something, other things to safeguard it. Now we come where he says, Ma'isros siog le'Torah, lis ma'isros siog le'esha. Wealth, that's another kinyan, another acquisition that a person has in this world. Every bardas, every intelligent person knows that a person's monetary wealth needs shmira, needs guardianship. That there is nothing to discuss with intelligent people. You have unintelligent people that maybe have not learned that yet. And also, the fact is, the Gemara call says why the Hebrew word for the common money was zuz. And why is it called zuz? Shezozin midei odem leodem. Zozin means to move, because it keeps moving from one person to another. Very difficult to hang on to your money in this world. And also every intelligent person knows, and the more intelligent, the more he knows this, especially if he's intelligent in the ways of the world, that there is almost no guarantee to safeguard your money. The naive people will think. They'll say, someone will come and say, invest in the stock market, and that's the only way to hang on to your money. That's good until it crashes. Put your money in the bank, and that's the only way to hang on to your money. That's good until inflation eats it up. And so forth and so on. Or put it in property, they'll say. Well, that's good until, well, there's a boom in property, but not when there's a crash in property. So businessmen will tell you, the more intelligent people are in the ways of the world, the more they're telling this. One businessman told me, and he was a very, very big businessman. Very big businessman. He had dealt, not in the millions, probably in the billions. He told me, he says, it's a knife's edge, business deals. Can go either way, either way. A knife's edge. So that also the intelligent know. You got to do your best. You got to use your seichel. And you got to be mispalat HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you the muzzle. But as far as a sure thing, no. Rabbi Kiva is telling us there is a sure thing. There is something a person can do to safeguard his money. And it has to be safeguarded, like we mentioned. What is that? Maestros siugla osha. The guarantee to safeguard your money is tztoka, chesed. And that's what the Gemara says. He says, Gemara says, maaser kedei lis asher. Aser taser kedei lis asher. Give. There in particular, it's speaking about the 10% that's given to the Levim and to the poor. Give in order that you should have wealth. And we're in the Gemara now, in the Yeshiva, we're learning the sugyas of tzedakah. So this is a klal. Person wants to safeguard his wealth. The best way to do it is by giving. There's a Gemara in Ksubas, where the Gemara speaks about one of the wealthiest men, not Kalba Savua, but one of the wealthiest men in Yerushalayim before the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and they were extremely wealthy billionaires who lost all of his money. And the Gemara, they asked, how is it? How could it be? He had everything. He had lands, and he had farms, and he had sheep, and he had cattle, slaves, everything, jewels, lost all of his money. How could it be? So they said, because he didn't do what people say to do, molach, melach memeinai chesed. You want to salt your money? Do chesed. What does that mean? How do you keep meat? Those days, there was not much refrigeration. So how did they keep meat from going off? They wanted to keep it for long periods of time, or if they were traveling, they would salt it. Salt is something which not only does not rot, it's kaim le'elam, lasts forever. Brish melech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, my covenant with you is like salt. Salt is from the rare elements that can last forever. Not only does it last forever, but it's mekayim acherim. It can give kium. It can give a sus. It can sustain other things for long periods of time. So that's why if they would salt meat with heavy salt, boil urcha, a heavy salt, they could travel for long distances. And when they were ready to eat a little piece of meat, they would take some of it, wash it off, soak it well, and then it was as if it was fresh. So the Gemara asks, how do you salt your money in order that it should keep a long time? Some people will put it in the stock market, and some people will put it in the bank, and some people will put it under their mattress. There's a Gemara that says, Ein shmira l'ksofim ela b'karka, you have to bury it. How can you salt? What? How will you be able to salt your money? Mora says, Melach memeinai chosid. You do chesed with your money. That's salting your money. That'll give it kiyum. That'll give it, that'll sustain it. Just like salt sustains meat. And why is that? Because the one who doesn't do chesed with his money, he is not like HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all. Because he's either taking all of the time, or he's a ma'asev, he's gathering all of the time. These qualities are not found by Hashem. Hashem does not take from anyone, can't take from anyone. Everything is his. There's nothing in creation that he could take that's not his. So by HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the antithesis of someone who takes. And also, to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds on to things, it's not him either. He is constantly giving us. It says that he's Mefanes, Esonu Bechol Yem, Bechol Shoh. Every day, he brings Panosa to the whole world. Every hour, every minute. He is the essence of giving. Therefore, the one who is tight-fisted, keeps everything for himself, he's contrary to the midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, he's very far away. The one who constantly gives, though, that power of giving HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to the human being, he becomes close to Hashem because he's mizdame elov. He is emulating, or he's making himself like Hashem. This way he becomes close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of all brochas. If you come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you walk away with brocha. Just like if you come close to a fire, you walk away with warmth. And therefore, he is the one who is guarding his money, and not the one who's keeping it all for himself. This is what Rabbi Kiva, now Rabbi Kiva said, for a person has to be shalem, he has to be a holistic person, totality. His deeds have to be strong. His Torah has to be strong. His wealth has to be strong. So therefore he's telling us now a shmira for wealth. Now he goes, Nedorim siog leprishus. Vows are a safeguard for one's actions. We mentioned that there's another acquisition from a person, and that's his deeds. This doesn't come by itself. To the contrary, his nature is to be drawn into the evil, because Yetzara Odom Ra Min Urav. The Yetzer Lev, the person's heart, from the time he's born, has a nature of evil in it. So he has to make his deeds good. Now, this also needs a shmira. To do good and not to do evil, this doesn't come by itself. This needs great shmira, great guardianship, safeguards, Rabbi Kiva tells us. Again, we don't have any natural saints. We don't have saints that are born saints, and we don't even have saints that live as saints without any tendency for evil. To the contrary, the Gemara says, "Kol ha-godl, yetzer godl mimenu." The greater the person, the greater he's drawn into evil. It could be a different temptations, different types of evil. Just like a child has one temptation, an adult has another. But nevertheless, so therefore a person needs constant safeguards. What are the safeguards for deeds? This is Nedorim, vows. What does that mean? To distance oneself. Precious. The Gemara says that if a person has a difficulty, if he knows that he has a difficulty with something, he has a weakness for something, there's a simple remedy for this. And that's to distance yourself from the temptation. For example, what do we tell a child? We tell the child, the swimming pool is dangerous. Don't go even near the water. Stay at least 10 meters away, 20 meters away, or the sea, or the river. Don't go to the edge, or the mountain. Don't go to the edge. Tell them, I don't want you to go even 10, 20 meters away. Why? It's a safeguard. Or a child is a fire. You tell him, don't stand next to the fire, move back. But he'll tell you, but I'm standing next to the fire, but I'm not putting my hand in the fire, I'm not getting burnt. Move back. We have to tell ourselves, move back when it comes to weakenings. And these are ma'asim b'chol yom. For example, a person knows he has a weakness to eat something he shouldn't eat. A little is good, but he eats too much. So he makes a safeguard. I can't touch it. A person knows that if he drinks too much. So if he's got seichel, instead of constantly drinking a little and ending up drinking too much and then getting in his car, it makes a safeguard. I don't touch it. If another person, that's not a problem, then he doesn't need the harchoka. He doesn't need to distance himself from it. Now, the Rebbe Kiva mentions the vow because this is what we see the Torah tells us in a way of a vow. This was the Nozir. The Nozir saw that things were getting out of control in his life, and therefore he became a Nozir. This is for control. But it doesn't have to be a neder. Can? The Gemara brings the Nidre Mitzvah. Nidre Mitzvah is a neder to do something. David HaMelech said he says, I will make Nidorim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, es Nidorai Ashalim. And the Gemara brings in the Dorim, we do it when we give tzedakah. Person knows, look, you got in mind, you have to give, you want to give there a certain amount of money. But what happens? We never get around to doing it. You make a pledge, oh, I made a pledge, now I have to do it. So what happened? That neder, that pledge, brought us to the mitzvah. person has in mind that, look, I must finish the Masechta. Gemara brings. But he doesn't get around to do it. He's too busy. He could even be busy doing good things. Now, I'm going to make a Nidre Mitzvah, an undertaking to do it. Well, now that undertaking will bring him to the Mitzvah. And these are countless things like that. The same thing, which is very common, is people have to know to distance themselves from many things. There's many times people, like in shul, they're sitting with a group, they sit in a place in shul with a group of people that are always talking. So they talk also. So they say it's difficult because they're talking. Well, don't sit there. Move to a different place. Or people have chaverim that sit down and they speak Lashon Hara. And they speak Rechilus. So therefore he gets involved also. Well, that's a fool. Stay away from the Chabura. That's the Mishnah Harchek Mishochin Ro. Ve'alt Yischabel Roshu. These are all Harchokos. So what is Rabbi Kiva saying? He's saying that your deeds also need to be safeguarded. You cannot rely on just doing good things alone, because the nature of man is totally contrary to that. Nature of man is not to do good things. People don't do good things by themselves. They do bad things by themselves. Good things take effort. So there's the pull to the evil. And therefore, to do good things, you have to come up with all kinds of strategies, and that strategy is to reinforce. Do things that will bring you to the good, to the good things, and do other things that will distance you from the evil deeds. Now, he mentioned the Dorim, this is, in essence, this is good, but one must be very careful, and this, the Chazal tell us of the Gemaras, one must be very careful. You don't want this to backfire on you. Because if a person will make an eder to do something, and then he won't do it, not only he didn't do the mitzvah, but he does an aveira by not keeping an eder. And therefore, there were many that were very hesitant when a person should make the neder, or should it just be an undertaking without the neder. I said this is a different discussion, but this is the principle. Then we have the fourth kinyan, and that's siyug lachochma shtiko. That's a person's wisdom. Person, during the course of his life, he acquires wisdom. And we're talking about wisdom which is useful wisdom. He acquires the ways and the knowledge of the world, the wisdom of the Eretz, the wisdom of the nature of the world, the wisdom of the particular profession that he's in, of the business world or the professional world, the wisdom on how to invest his money and things like that. All of this very important wisdom for a person. Kim is saying, how do you acquire this? He's telling us something very important. To acquire this wisdom and to keep it is shtiko, silence. To listen. It states, Ezu ha-chocham, aleimen mikol odom. Who is the chocham? The person who constantly wants to learn from others. That's the sign of a chocham. A person has to be a chocham to go through this world, to try to amass as much useful knowledge. I'm not talking about useless knowledge. That he should keep out of his head. He shouldn't fill his head with that. He has to leave room for the other. He should try to acquire as much useful knowledge and wisdom as possible. Because it'll help him understand life, it'll help him understand the world, it'll help him understand his Torah. How does he do it? by constantly trying to learn. The Maral brings where it states, Ezra Chocham Halemed Mikol Odom. Who is the Chocham? Someone who learns from everyone. Why doesn't it say, who is the Chocham? Someone who has amassed. He has encyclopedias in his head. No. He says, that's not a Chocham. That's someone who has learned. But the essence of Chocham is someone who constantly strives to learn. Always learning, always learning. You have people that have encyclopedias in their heads. But you notice by them many times they're limited to very narrow areas. This one in economics and this one in politics. And the minute they move out of the area, they don't seem to know, have a clue what's going on. But there's another person who, Ezra Chocham, Halemei Mikol Odom, someone who constantly wants to learn. He wants to learn. And that was Rabbi Kiva. The Chazal bring, he knew everything. It says he even knew how to drive a ship. Because it brought that when he went with a group of other sages, they would go to Rome. He lived under the Roman occupation, and they would go from Israel to Rome to make as a delegation to speak to the Roman emperors and the Caesars on behalf of Klal Yisrael. So they would have to take a boat. So what the other people would sit and what they would do, relax. He would go to the captain and watch him drive the boat. And he would ask him, how's this? And he'd ask him also, let me try, teach me. Wherever he went, he was Boki b'chol ha-chochmos. He was experts in all of the wisdoms of the world. Because wherever he went, he watched. He tried to learn. Now, how do you learn? Maral says you don't learn by talking. You learn by keeping your mouth shut. See? You learn by watching. You learn by listening. When you're with people that know something more than you, because these are the ones you want to learn with from, then you keep quiet and you listen to them. Or you watch them. Not by talking. Yes, you can ask. First you have to listen. After you hear, you can ask. But don't keep talking. Ozen Shomas says one of the means to be Kena Torah is to have a good ear. Unfortunately, this is lost from the world, just like wisdom is lost from the world. If you look at the the interviews that you see there's no wisdom left in it. They ask someone something, he tries to answer, they're not interested in hearing what he's got to say, then they jump in and start chattering and yelling and shouting and this and that. You can't learn by shouting. You have to listen. Fact is, today, South Africa, they tell me there's still some of it left, but overseas, I say if you give a talk or you give a lecture, you got to, firstly, it's got to be with all types of movies and aids and whatnot, because people won't listen for more than a few minutes at a time. Then their concentration span has exploded. But even then, it's got to be short, to the point. Come to the point. What's your conclusion? And then with a coffee break. The Keir Hashmiya is not there anymore. If the Keir Hashmiya to listen is not there anymore, and if this is the Siyag L'Chochma, if this what guards our wisdom, the wisdom is not there anymore either. You have to absorb. To absorb, you have to listen or to watch. It says the same thing when you learn from a Rebbe. It says Reya. The Chazal would makpi. They were insistent that you should be able to see him. You learn by seeing and you learn by listening. You don't learn by gibbering. So therefore he says siug l'chochma ishtiko. Be quiet, train yourself to pick up everything that he's saying. If it's a person worth listening to, we're talking about. And then you learn. So what Rabbi Kiva was saying, how a person has to be a holistic person, a sholem. Can't be an expert in one area and a fool in the other areas. And this is in his simcha, It's got to be down the middle. It can't be sadness or depression. It can't be folly or lightheartedness. And then he has to guard his Torah, that it should be with clarity and not be lost. And to guard his wealth, and to safeguard his deeds, to guard himself from doing evil, and to assist himself in doing good, and to safeguard his wisdom. And then a person can carry forward into the levels of greatness in this world. These are the first teachings of Rabbi Akiva, which are brought in Masechta Avos.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.